Ah, yes. A good Sunday morning to one and all. Back on a Sunday morning. It's good to be back after a week off for a little vacation. Mark Melusis with you. It is a Melusis Sunday. 888-808-1019 is your number to call. We're taking it right up until Yankees-Cubs baseball. Final game before the All-Star break comes your way. A couple minutes before one. I think about 12:55 this afternoon. So plenty of time to chat with you. You got Roscona across the way. Hit me up on X at Mark Melusis. That's Mark with a C. And hopefully everyone out there is having themselves a lovely weekend. And we're going to be talking about all things. A lot of baseball for sure. As you know, the MLB trade deadline's July 31st, 6 o'clock Eastern time. Mets, Yankees, and obviously Mets back in first place. Half game lead over the Philadelphia Phillies in the National League East after the Athletics dropped one last night out in Sacramento. After the Blue Jays dropped one last night to the Athletics, the Yankees trailing the Toronto Blue Jays by two games in the American League East, one of the hottest teams, the hottest team in Major League Baseball is the Boston Red Sox as they try and go for their 10th straight win today against the Tampa Bay Rays. We'll begin with the Bombers, they have a tough loss yesterday at the hands of the Chicago Cubs, and you would expect Chicago, it's a really good offensive team, to bounce back after what we witnessed on Friday night, and Bellinger with the three home runs nearly hit four, the three diving catches by Aaron Judge. And I get, Max Fried has not pitched well in his last three starts, and he got replaced on the All-Star roster by Carlos Rodon because he went out there and pitched yesterday, and maybe it's a little bit of fatigue, maybe he needs a little bit of a freshening, so on and so forth. Not overly concerned about Max Fried. Loaisiga obviously gives up the home run. Not overly concerned about him. I think the concerns, and we'll get to the concerns in a minute. Got to talk about Judge here for a second. Listen, I don't need necessarily him to be the quickest player to get to 350 home runs to appreciate what Aaron Judge is as a player, nor should anybody else. Aaron Judge is, as well-rounded a player as you have seen in quite some time, can beat you in a variety of different ways. You saw it on Friday night with the three catches, robbing a home run from Pete Crow Armstrong, the diving catch, out there in right field, the diving catch into foul territory to get Rodon through the eighth inning. Then you've seen him go out there and hit the cover off the baseball at one point in time, threatening with hitting 400 for the season, even though that was never going to happen. That's as good of a start that Judge had because Judge has not been historically, as we saw a year ago, sometimes it takes him a little bit of time in order for him to get the engines going. But Aaron Judge, and I bring up Judge first before we get to Cashman and the Yankees and the overall mindset, because we are watching, an all-time great right before our very eyes. I mean, that's it. You're watching a player right before your very eyes that they'll be talking about 20 years from now, 30 years from now, 40 years from now, 50 years from now. The impact that Aaron Judge is having. As Boone talked about after the game yesterday, that, he's playing a different game. There is unquestionably he is. Now, the naysayers are going to come out and talk about that he's got a hit in October. And yes, I would agree with you. Just like I said last October, when the Yankees were taking on the Los Angeles Dodgers in the World Series, the Yankees aren't going to win the World Series unless Aaron Judge gets going and number 99 starts to hit a percentage of the player that he is during the course of the regular season. Agreed. But when we deal with the here and now, and you look at what Judge is as a regular season player, he's the best hitter in the world. I mean, that is what Aaron Judge is. But he's not just that. Like, I used to grow up before the days of analytics, before the days of, everything's right in your hands with smartphones and all that, right? Where you'd hear scouting reports and you'd hear about prospects coming up and, the big claim to fame was when a prospect was a true five-tool player, right? Can beat you in a variety of different ways, whether it be defense, whether it be with his arm, whether it be with his legs, can go out there and hit for power, can go out there and hit for average. They was just an unbelievably well-rounded player. Alex Ochoa, who was a guy that never turned out, never panned out, but was a guy that was believed to be a five-tool player. When you look at that, has kind of gone by the wayside. You don't really hear that term much anymore in Major League Baseball, but it was a thing. And it wasn't all that long ago when it was a thing. Judge is that caliber of player to the nth degree. Like, he just is. I mean, he's a remarkable defensive player that plays the game the right way. You know, he can go out there and beat you, obviously, with the long ball and the home run. We've seen that time and time again. Fastest player ever in the history of Major League Baseball. You know, just a tad under 200 games shorter than Mark McGwire did it. He can hit for a high average. We've seen that. You know, as a regular season player, that is what Aaron Judge is. Now, with all that being said, the Yankees haven't won. You know, the Yankees haven't won anything since 2009. And I thought it was interesting this week when Brian Cashman met with the media and some of the statements that he had to make. And, you know I've had my criticism of Cash over the years. And, you know, some of it justified, some of it maybe a little bit emotional, and that's fine. But I've had my criticism of Cashman over the years. And I look at Cashman and what he had to say, and it is great, you know, that he comes out and the day that they DFA DJ LeMahieu after it came to the, I mean, we could all see it. The town idiot could see that DJ LeMahieu couldn't play in the field any longer. And unfortunately for LeMahieu, all the lower leg injuries, all the injuries after signing that 6-year, $90 million contract when he hit free agency after his initial 2-year splurge with the Yankees, where he was the machine and he was one of the best offensive players, not just in the American League, but all of Major League Baseball, and finishing in the top 5 in the MVP voting in the American League. But all the injuries robbed DJ LeMahieu of his ability to do what he does best, right? Hitting the baseball, winning a batting crown in the American League, winning a batting crown with the Colorado Rockies in the National League. And, you know, DJ LeMahieu, finally the Yankees came to the conclusion, and the Yankees are always the last to know, as we have seen over the years, but the Yankees come to the conclusion that, you know, it is time. You know, he didn't take it well, but it was time for the Yankees to move on from DJ LeMahieu. And, you know, the $20+ million that he owed, that they owed him, they were going to be A-OK because they needed to move forward without him. And they were going to be a better baseball team in the long run without DJ LeMahieu being a part of this team. And listen, I don't think there's a Yankee fan, even as big of a fan as people have been, as I have been, of LeMahieu as a player. At this stage of his career, where he is physically, and it wasn't like he was hitting 210. He was hitting the mid-260s. Even with all that being said, he couldn't physically play third, and he had little to no range at second base. I bring up the idea that, and the Yankees made the right decision. It was not a stunning decision. I mean, it was the correct one, right? We've talked about it time and time again when it comes to DJ LeMahieu. You cross your fingers, say a prayer to the good Lord above, and hope for the best, and think that DJ LeMahieu is going to go and be the player that he was 5-6 years ago. That was just never going to happen. Father Time and the injuries catch up with everybody. But the Yankees are always the last to know when it comes to LeMahieu, and they give him every single opportunity. And I appreciate that because of, you know, what LeMahieu has represented as a New York Yankee and just how good he was the first couple years, you know, as a Yankee. He'd taken less in free agency, and the Yankees given him the money he was looking for, but had to stagger it with the amount of years to get the annual average to where they wanted it to be. But with all that being said, finally, as we talked about a couple weeks ago, you know, Jazz Chisholm's now going to be playing second base moving forward. Just like I told you it was a terrible idea when the Yankees went out there and said, well, we're going to move him back over to third base because it's easier to acquire a middle infielder come the MLB trade deadline. That's moronic. The Yankees are always last to know. When they played Gleyber Torres at shortstop and told everybody, well, he played shortstop in the minor leagues, right? He should be able to play shortstop. And I'm not talking about what he is as an offensive player, because Gleyber Torres is always going to be defined by what he is as an offensive player. And you're seeing that this year with the Detroit Tigers as he's an all-star for the American League, right? It's never going to necessarily be, whether it be at shortstop, he was never going to be Ozzie Smith. If he was at second base, he was never going to be Roberto Alomar. So, I mean, that's it. But what was he more comfortable at? You want to put a player in a position to where they are defensively is not going to impact their greatest asset to your organization, which is your offense. But the Yankees stuck Gleyber Torres at shortstop, and it affected his overall game, and Cashman talking about him being out of shape, and finally they moved him back over to second base to get the best out of Gleyber Torres. The Yankees are always last to know. You look at Gary Sanchez behind home plate, even though there were scouts across Major League Baseball looked at Gary Sanchez and said, well, he's not an everyday catcher, right? He's more of a DH. Make use of his best asset as a player, and that is what he can provide to you and the power he can provide to you, you know, as a hitter. Don't worry about necessarily what he's going to be as a catcher. The Yankees getting greedy because they want the offense from a position that, historically speaking, hasn't provided great offense to everyday lineups in Major League Baseball. The Yankees are always last to know. And then you get to Cashman's comments the other day when he met with the media in terms of, it's great. I mean, it's great. I grow up in, you know, I tell my kids all the time, my mom used to tell me this, my dad used to tell me this, other people, you know, actions speak louder than words. That's really the case. Actions speak louder than words. You could say it, you could go out there, you know, I'm going to go out there and lose weight. And then if you go, I say it all the time, I need to lose weight. And there I am having a cheeseburger and fries at dinner, right? Actions speak louder than words. You got to follow up your words and have the actions. Go work out, go do different things, change your lifestyle if you want to go out there and lose a little bit of weight, all of those things, right? So I come from that, and I throw that example out there because Cashman goes out there the other day and meets with the media and talks about, you know, just what the Yankees are going to need come the MLB trade deadline, right? And it's like, okay, great. I mean, fantastic. I mean, that's, you know, that's like red meat to the wolves of Yankee fans. Yes, absolutely. You know, we need a starting pitcher. You know, three guys that were in our starting rotation during the, you know, in the run to the World Series are no longer there, right? You look at, well, we need a third baseman. Finally, we've talked about it throughout the course of the offseason. The Yankees have to go out there and get a third baseman, whether it be Suarez from Arizona, who's going to be a rental, whether it be, you know, McMahon from the Colorado Rockies. The Yankees need to go out there and get themselves a third baseman. We need a reliever as well. The Yankees need all of this. My question for the Cashman and the Yankees is this, is, well, I'll believe it when I see it. And when Cashman goes out there and couches those comments where he says, you know, we'll put it in front of ownership and then see exactly what they have to say. Value is out there. We understand what we need to go out there and get, but we'll put it in front of ownership. My question for the Yankees would be, okay, great. And then Hal's going to go out there and make the decision in terms of what the Yankees go out and decide to do, whether I have to add payroll or whether the what prospect they're giving up. And we understand that Lombard is not available. Spencer Jones probably is. And, you know, he's had a good year down in the minor leagues. But, you know, the Yankees have operated. And what I mean by this is there was a time, and I bring up the Judge example leading into Cashman for this very reason is, you know, don't continue to flush the great years of Aaron Judge down the toilet. Don't go out there and work on the periphery. Go out there and attack. Attack like the Los Angeles Dodgers go out there and attack, the new evil empire of Major League Baseball. Don't get concerned about prospects and what guys are going to turn out to be 4 or 5 years down the line. I mean, who cares? Honestly, I mean, how many prospects? I mean, I could name 300 prospects that turned out to be, that were built up through the minor leagues that turned out to be complete and utter stiffs on the major league level. And you as an organization have to recognize, you know, the guys that you have question marks and concerns about. You know, it's okay if you're an organization, you know, to look at and deal those prospects because the goal is the Yankees are packing the ballpark in the Bronx and you're seeing sellout crowds left and right and the Yankees are up there with the Dodgers in terms of attendance in the Major League Baseball. The goal is to win a World Series, something that this organization has not done since 2009. Like, that's ultimately, you know, the goal. So I want to see it. I mean, the point being is there was a time I believed it. There was a time when Cashman would say something and I would wholeheartedly believe it. I don't know if I'm necessarily there anymore. I'm really not. And I think the Yankees are a good team. I've told you now for weeks, months that I've told you that I think the Yankees are not a championship caliber team. I think they're going to make the playoffs. Even as Yankee fans will run around this city and, you know, they lost the series against the Mets, Subway Series, July 4th, holiday weekend. Like, everything that we have seen and Yankee fans overly concerned, even people talking about, go sell off and do all. I mean, the nonsense that was being spewed was completely, some Yankee fans went out there and embarrassed themselves with some of the statements that they had to make at the time. The Yankees are going to go out there and make the playoffs, but that should not be the goal. See, that's the difference in the mindset. The difference in the mindset from here to 15, 20, 25 years ago, whatever it might be, when you think about the great days, the glory days, when you think about the dynastic Yankees in the late 90s, what it was about, win above everything else. You were defined by winning. Not making the postseason, not this nonsense of a roll of the dice, cross the fingers, hope for the best. Hopefully we're playing the best baseball we can. The Yankees got dragged by the Los Angeles Dodgers Joe Kelly and others, after the Dodgers won the title and the Yankees had that fifth inning three and had the three errors, because you know what? The Los Angeles Dodgers knew what the Yankees were weak at. And the self-evaluation of the Yankees didn't realize it. They're always the last to know. So it's great what Cashman had to say the other day. It's fantastic that, you know, not for him personally, you feel for DJ LeMahieu that, you know, the Yankees finally came to this conclusion that DJ LeMahieu could no longer help them on the major league level. It's great that Cashman said, you know, he's going to go out there and attack come the MLB trade deadline and, you know, and throw out there exactly what the Yankees went out there and need. It is a little mind-numbing, the defense of, you know, Anthony Volpe on a day-in, day-out basis. Let's all come to the realization at some point in time. Like, Anthony Volpe is not going to be this 330 dynamic offensive player. Like, that's, I mean, we could pull up the statements that Cashman had from the GM meetings out in Arizona two off seasons ago, in which, you know, he's pointing the fingers at every single media member that was in attendance and all the men and women that went out there and covered the Yankees on a day-in, day-out basis for some of the, as Cashman, you know, some of the stories that were being written about the Yankees, and was defending Anthony Volpe and hoping for an apology and all of this nonsense that he was spewing at the time. Eyeball test. Like, let's look at Anthony Volpe as a baseball player. There are positives and there are negatives. Has he had a good year this year? He has not. Is he going to be Derek Jeter, something the Yankees threw out there at the time when he was coming up through the Yankee farm system and they drafted him, a local kid, Jersey kid, grew up a Yankee fan, all those things? No, he's never going to be that caliber of player. Is he the biggest issue when you look at this Yankee team? He is not. But the continued defense, and I get, that's where we are today in professional athletics. You see it with Boone, you see it with Mendoza, you see it with managers, you see it with coaches, you know, and everything like that. Then you've got to handle everybody with kid gloves. I get it. I understand it. But, you know, Volpe's not been particularly good. Great slide the other day in the Yankee epic comeback victory, where they knew exactly what was coming from Munoz from the Seattle Mariners, and a great response from Aaron Boone postgame, the next day, and great questioning by Roger Rubin, by the way, and give a shout out to Roger asking which guy absolutely knew, and it was Bellinger sitting there on first base. John Boyd did a great breakdown and give Jimmy and the guys over there a breakdown of how the Yankees went about their business there. But overall, you know, Volpe's not been particularly good. The Yankees can defend it. Yankees can look at it, and they can tell you and hope and pray, but Volpe, is he ever going to be that caliber of hitter? Do I think it's all of a sudden the light bulb's going to come on? No, I really don't. I think he is what he is. I think he'll get hot at times. I appreciate what he did last October when the pressure was on, and Brian Cashman could point to that. Well, Gleyber Torres was really good too. But you define Gleyber Torres about what he was as a regular season player, not necessarily what he was in October. And you let them walk, and you let them go. And that's fine. But you can't use it for one to define a player and not help define a player in another. That's where you need to put the boots on and call the BS meter out. But overall, when you look at the Yankees here, listen, they're a playoff team in the American League. If they get healed back at some point in time, great. Are they going to be aggressive come the MLB trade deadline? I would imagine they would be. Cashman's always had the mantra that, you know, he is, if a team shows that they deserve to be strengthened, he will do whatever he can to strengthen them. Are they going to go above and beyond? Because the stuff he had to say the other day was, I'm willing to go above and beyond. But then it's the decision of ownership of whether or not we can do that maneuver. Well, we'll see. Because I think the Yankees in this run over the last 14, 15 years, they've been very, very self-satisfied with the amount of money they make every single year. And I'm not putting my hand in their pockets. God bless. They're fantastic. I mean, they are an absolute brand, and they are a locomotive running downhill. But they are very self-satisfied as far as making the playoffs, having the playoff appearances, the lack of accountability within the organization, all of those things. And there doesn't have to necessarily be the extreme of George Steinbrenner, but there doesn't have to necessarily be the extreme of what we are witnessing now, that everything is A-OK and everything is fine. Because you are the Yankees. And as Cashman sat there at the dais and met with the media, the mindset has got to be this. As Cashman puts his head to the pillow, as everybody in that analytics department put their head to the pillow on a day-in, day-out basis, is don't continue to waste the glory years of Aaron Judge. He's got to win in order to be an immortal, and he's got to go out there and do his part in the month of October. he's got to be that caliber of player in October. Maybe not necessarily to the degree that we see in the regular season, but have big, impactful hits, whether it be a home run, whether it be a double with two outs to begin a rally, whether it be driving a guy in down a run, seventh inning, you know, 3-2 game to tie it up at three. Some of the stuff that we used to see in the late 90s, like that's got to be it. He's a remarkable player. We are lucky to watch him on a day-in, day-out basis. The impact, and he doesn't need me on a Sunday morning on WFAN going out there and kissing his rear end. But that's as good of a player as Aaron Judge is. There's no ego involved. He loves being a Yankee. He loves putting on the pinstripes. He loves being the captain of the team. All of those things. But as Judge continues to do what he does in the regular season, and yes, he's got to go out there and hit in the month of October, well, then the impetus and the pressure is on Cashman and company to put the championship team around him. And enough with the nonsense of the rolling of the dice. Enough of the nonsense of hoping for the best come October. Or you know what? Everybody, you know what bothers me when people say, well, the other team's trying too. Really? Yes, I understand the other team is trying to win. This is not Little League Baseball, right? We're not playing CYO basketball. You know, this isn't, you know, Pee Wee hockey. You're talking about the major leagues. You're talking about trying to do something that this organization, which has been defined by winning, has not done since 2009. So you lay down the mantra. You embolden the fan base. You said what you needed to do come the MLB trade deadline, July 31st, 6 o'clock Eastern time. And now it's the job of Brian Cashman to go get the job done. And with that, the appetite of Hal Steinbrenner let him do it. Will that happen? We'll see. See just how aggressive Cashman is and just see how frustrated Hal Steinbrenner is. Because we'll know by 7 o'clock on July 31st, or even probably before that, you'll know just how much the World Series drought bothers the organization. You'll know. Actions, my friends, speak louder than words. 8:56. And a lot to say. Had a week off. Cashman went with the media. Well, don't worry. We'll get into the Mets. We'll get into the All-Star Game Home Run Derby. Mike Brown got introduced, finally, by the New York Knicks as the Summer League is going on. Plenty of your calls. 888-808-1019. It's a Melusis Sunday. We get to go a little Yankee baseball. Their series wraps up against the Cubs. All-Star break gets going. The Cashman comments. We'll get into a little Mets as well. But we'll get to your calls. We'll do that next.